Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It's kind of been a rough decade for discount chains in New England. The closeout retailer Building 13, famous for those kind of quirky flyers, went bankrupt in 2013. 4 years later, South Shore staple Benny's bit the dust. And now the iconic Christmas tree shops declaring Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Here to tell us more, Boston Globe business reporter Diddy Coley. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So right off the top, I have to ask you, did you ever shop at Christmas tree shops?
So my first time was actually when I went in to talk to people about the Chapter 11 filing. And then I did return promptly after to buy several beach chairs for myself.
So you walked in, you're like, oh, now I see. And you had to go back and shop.
All right. Of course.
All right. So let's back up for a second, because this Chapter 11 thing can be very confusing for people in terms of how much of a death knell it is. And I also understand personal bankruptcy is different than corporate bankruptcy. So maybe you should just start by telling us exactly what it means that the Christmas tree shops has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
So Chapter 11 can mean a variety of things for different companies, but essentially it means a restructuring of company finances under a court order. The thing is that that usually means cutting back, whether that be employees or locations. So the minute that it was announced, even though the specifics were not yet clear, it's in no way a death knell, but it's definitely not good news.
So it means smaller for sure. Mm-hmm. And that there's trouble behind the scenes.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Exactly.
And do we have any sense of how often after there's trouble behind the scenes and a company goes into corporate bankruptcy that it survives versus doesn't? Is there anything there that we know, or does it really just depend on the situation?
It often survives, but sometimes there's such a major rollback that even that's not a great thing, because it kind of, you know, walks out of the public consciousness. In this case, Christmas Tree Shops has announced that they're closing 10 of their 82 stores nationally, which includes two in Massachusetts. So it's not a giant change, but at least for now, it's, you know, it's not great.
Okay, so I want to dive into the iconic, because two in Massachusetts is not a lot, and yet the collective gasp of angst over really the sense that maybe something is going away has been big. So start with the history of the Christmas Tree Shops. Just give us a little.
So the Christmas Tree Shops has been huge in Massachusetts since at least the 1970s. There were actually a single location called the Christmas Tree Gift Shop on Cape Cod in the 50s. And then a local family, the Bielzekians, bought it in the 70s, expanded it to 25 stores. Then it was, for 17 years, from 2003 to 2020, owned by Bed Bath & Beyond, who, you know, expanded it even more broadly across the country. Then it went back to a local company, and that's where they've landed where they are now.
Okay, so now you gave the Bed Bath & Beyond, right? 2003, they acquire it, sold off Christmas Tree Shops in 2020, as you said. But their fates are intertwined, and I want to play a little bit of sound from CBS News in April.
It's lights out at Bed Bath & Beyond. Filing for bankruptcy this weekend, the retail giant says it plans to close its 360 stores and 120 Bye Bye Baby locations, putting around 14,000 jobs at risk.
Now, I don't necessarily mean to imply causality by that, and yet the relationship there, tell us what that means and how we should think about the fact that we see that in April and now we see this with Christmas Tree Shops in May.
Yeah. So as you said, Bed Bath & Beyond no longer owns Christmas Tree Shops, but it is really unfortunate timing. And I think it's very reflective of the moment that we're in for big box retail during the pandemic with online shopping. A lot of Christmas Tree Shops are still located close to Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, the Somerville location, for example, in Assembly Row is close to a Bed Bath & Beyond storefront that's currently having a giant liquidation sale. And I think it's really a testament to the way that people are shopping is changing, and particularly the way that people are bargain shopping is changing, you know, as we turn increasingly to Amazon, for example.
So those same forces that could have pushed Bed Bath & Beyond, although, and again, there's been some great reporting, especially at the end, NPR level, about what happened at Bed Bath & Beyond, some of those same forces that we saw there could be what we're seeing impacting the decisions at the Christmas Tree Shops.
Definitely. I mean, one of the strategies that national chains have employed for a long time is rapid expansion. And it's one of the things that Bed Bath & Beyond did. When Christmas Tree Shops was locally owned, they expanded throughout New England and through New York. Then Bed Bath & Beyond took them to Pennsylvania, Virginia, Georgia, Florida, which are all states that are now closing at least one location. So I think it's really reflective of the time that we're in for retail.
All right. So I want to get into sort of the heart of what Christmas Tree Shops have kind of meant regionally to people. And one of the things that we did is we reached out to our texting group. We asked people sort of their favorite thing that they ever bought from a Christmas Tree Shop store. I have to admit, mine, of all the things, and I don't know why I had never known these existed before, but you know those big citronella candles that you can
yes.
buy and you light them and they have that strong smell that's not unpleasant, but that is supposed to keep mosquitoes away. I remember finding one so inexpensive that I was willing to try it for the first time at a Christmas Tree Shop. So Diddy Coley of the Boston Globe, we reached out to our texting group, and you can join that group by texting the word Boston to 617-766-0382. That's 617-766-0382. Outdoors seemed to be a big theme. Julia in Winthrop said, meditating frogs for my front yard. Bernadette in Arlington said, a pink flamingo with shorts, hat, and sunglasses. It's at my front door. You did beach chairs. I did a citronella candle in one of my early times. When you went to Somerville, though, it wasn't like overflowing with goods.
Yeah, they've certainly pulled back on the inventory, and that location specifically, it's unclear, but one section of the store seems to be closed off, at least temporarily. And it's possible that that has to do with the bankruptcy protection filing. Sometimes, you know, stores start to kind of pare back their inventory to save on supplier costs. But either way, I mean, the folks that were in there, it seems like the kind of store that you don't go in with too much of a plan or a mission or, you know, a list. It's kind of like, oh, you'll see what you find, and you're bargain hunting, and you find leaf shiner mitts and 4th of July decorations, and you leave with more than you expected. And that's kind of a beautiful part of retail that we've lost a little bit.
And then there's the physical spaces. And I wonder sometimes if this dates back to that first shop on the Cape in the 1950s, but they're quirky spaces. Talk a little bit about the architecture.
They are. They usually are in colonial or weirdly Victorian style buildings, and the chain has been really dedicated to keeping the character of the space. So, for example, the Sagamore location that's going to close, which a lot of people are sad about, is on the bridge with a giant windmill up front. The Somerville location has a clock tower. There's another one, I think, that's in Linfield with a lighthouse. You know, they really were okay with having spaces that didn't look like what a big box store traditionally is.
Now, Diddy, you said Sagamore's closing. Do you know the other Massachusetts shop that's closing?
Yeah, so it's Sagamore and Falmouth.
Falmouth. All right. I can just hear people in Sagamore and Falmouth saying, no, not our stores. Do we have a sense from Christmas Tree Shops if, whether, when, and how to expect information about whether further closings are coming?
So these two locations will be closing on June 30th, which means you have a little bit over a month to get their liquidation sale before they're totally empty. Other than that, it's unclear where they're going forward. They have about $45 million coming in you know, some money to kind of shore up what they can do with that. But it's really, you know, no one really knows what's next. Let's hope that some of the other locations are going to stick through.
You know, we were talking and preparing for this today, thinking about some of the other big closings. You know, we talked about Building 19, thinking about Filene's Basement back in 2007, and now Filene's itself doesn't even have any brick and mortar stores. Mm-hmm. Is this, you talked about the changes in how we shop for bargains. Is this the end of an era, Diddy?
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned a lot of local chains that have seen their demise the past decade, but even in the past couple years, Lord & Taylor, JCPenney, Pier 1 Imports have all filed for bankruptcy. These are national chains with huge presences across New England. I think it's really a sense of how are we going to sustain these 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 square foot retail spaces if there's really no demand for them anymore.
I also wonder what happens to those physical spaces.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's something I'm betting you're going to watch.
I am indeed, for sure.
All right. Diddy Coley is a business reporter for the Boston Globe. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.